Hey, what's up? Are you there?
We are here. How you doing, man?
Hey, not bad, brother. How are you today?
Doing all right.
Hey, man, thank you for taking the time to sit down and talk with me this evening, bro.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So, where do you live, bro?
I am actually in Ohio right now still.
Awesome. Hey, man, neighbor state. That's cool.
Yep, good old Ohio, something like that.
Hey man, hey, it's better than the cornfields up here in Indy.
Yeah, so I've heard. So I've heard.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are still kind of in the Bible Belt, but hey.
Yeah, I'm looking to hopefully get out of here soon enough though.
That's fair, man. So tell everybody about yourself a little bit, bud.
My name is Mike Luciano. I'm a professional vocalist. I sing for a band called Firefight. I've sang for a band called Paramedic, a band called Suppy Dudes as well. I've been doing music for most of my life, and I don't know what I would do without it.
I feel that completely. Dude, so let's talk about the paramedic, dude. That's when I first I think I seen you guys play like a VFW in Illinois somewhere. I'm trying to think of where it was. I was staying the summer with my aunt, and you guys played some like VFW hall somewhere in like some little part of Illinois. And it was like a local show, and it was fucking insane. There was kids in there like throwing chairs and shit, and I was like, "All right, this is what it is. Let's go."
Yeah, I remember those nights. Those were some good nights. It's a lot of fun, those nights.
Oh yeah, dude. Like, I mean, a good old VFW hall show. There's nothing like it, man. Just getting
It's
down there.
those intimate shows like that, man, where you can really get into it with the crowd and you can really kind of just like go all out and have a good time, because it's one of those things where it's not the quote unquote magic of the stage isn't really there to separate you from those people. It's
Yeah,
a lot
most
more
of the time
intimate.
you're, yeah.
I mean, you become it's almost for lack of a better term, more primal in a way, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I used to drum in a band called Sink or Swim out of Indiana, and man, I miss it. I really miss performing. When was the last time Firefight played a show?
Shit, man. Last time Firefight played a show, I want to say it's been over a year.
Right,
I
since
want to say
before COVID.
before COVID, or right when COVID was like beginning to shut down everything kind of thing. And the last show we played was actually here in Cincinnati. We had just dipped our toe in the whole touring idea, so we had a little 3-day run. We booked it out, and we played, I want to say, Burnsville, Minnesota, and then we played Chicago the next day, and then the next day we played Cincinnati. And it was just a little 3-day run to kind of test the waters, just see how the market is out there. And because I mean, that's what nobody wants to tell you, but I mean, there is a market. Like, being in a band is still a business.
Oh, absolutely. It is a job. It's definitely a
It
job.
is a job. It is still a job.
Yeah,
So.
and it's a very hard job too, because it's not like a typical job where like you see your coworkers in like short burst, or you kind of do your own thing. Like your bandmates become like your fucking girlfriends. Like everyone has like their own shit going on, and it's just like, but we all need
Pretty
each
much,
other.
yeah.
Like
Pretty much, yeah. That's how it becomes. I mean, you have to look at them as family. They have to essentially become your family, especially if you're gonna go out on the road, because I mean, fuck, you're gonna be living with them for X amount of days. And I mean, most likely it might be inside of a van that you're living with them,
Yep,
unless you
close
make enough money
quarters.
to get a hotel every night, which I mean, if you do, kudos to you, but
Right.
it becomes a whole thing. Like, people don't really think about all the expenses and what it's like to tour and like the good things and the bad things. You don't think about the what ifs or like the big issues that most bands touring would deal with. Most people that want to, like start out in their whole mindset is I just want to be in a band because it looks cool or anything like that, without really having a passion or knowledge of what they're doing. I feel as if you're looking at all the bright sides and all the pretty colors kind of thing. But I mean, being in a band is not all gumdrops and rainbows, I'm here to tell you. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's totally not. It's totally not.
It's not. I mean, you get being in a band is being a rock star for about 30 minutes.
Yep, and the rest of the time is being a regular average Joe with a expensive hobby.
Yep. Yep. I mean, we double as roadies and merch guys and drivers and you know, gas filler uppers, and I mean, we do all of it ourselves. I mean, we don't have any roadies. We don't have any people like that to help us out. Like, when we go on the road, like, it's us taking care of everything. And when we get to throw our stuff up on stage and we get to perform and actually show off our show, because I mean, that's what it is. It's more than us just playing music. Like, we're there to put on a show.
Absolutely. It's entertainment.
And once we are there to do that, then we get to be rock stars. Then we get to go ahead and be bigger than everybody else in the world, kind of thing.
Absolutely. But
only for that moment. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, enlighten us on what was one of your favorite shows, like a tour memory?
Oh, wow. One of my favorite shows. There were so many, to be honest. I would say one of my favorites, because I bring this one up a lot, was probably out in California. It was the first time we'd ever played the West Coast, and they had been begging for us to come out there. This is when I was in the paramedic, mind you.
Begging for my us days. To come out.
Yeah, the glory days. And during that time, you know, we had never gone out there. It was our first time there. And we had shown up at this, like, I guess it was like some sort of outdoor festival or some sort of music thing like that.
Right.
And it was supposed to be like three stages and like a bunch of local bands. And we're like, all right, this should be a good time. Like, hopefully it's like a decent amount of kids. You know, hopefully nothing too crazy, like nothing extravagant that we're expecting because it's our first time here.
Right.
And we showed up, man, and there was like 500 kids there or some shit like that. And I was like,
oh, shit.
Like, oh, man, like, y'all really wanted us to come out here. Like, okay, let's do this shit. And
yeah, dog.
There was this big area that we had played in, but it was enclosed. It was indoors. And there was a small stage, but it was big enough for, you know, full band to go on stage, kind of jump around, do their thing. There was about 500 kids. 300 of them were able to sit in the room with us. Only 300. The other 200 or so had to stand in the doorway and kind of try to shovel in or like stand outside kind of thing.
Oh shit, it was packed.
It was literally packed in there.
That's awesome.
And we get ready to play, you know, we're getting ready to do our last song and we finish it off and they start chanting for an encore and they want one more song. And
did you give it to them?
The guys, got to give the crowd what they want, man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Got to give the crowd what they want, and we played Eddie Would Be Proud.
Oh God, that's the one too.
As the encore song, and I remember we told him like, hey, like if you haven't rocked out, it's your last chance. Like you're gonna do it, then fucking do it. Don't talk about it, be about it, type shit.
Right.
And so we start out. Next thing I know, 50 kids bum rush the stage and they're jumping up and down with us on time, and you can just feel the stage starting to bow.
Oh, that's incredible.
Oh, it feels like it's gonna break, and we're just like, fuck it, if it breaks, it breaks. If I die, I die.
Damn right.
And we're just going to town and just having the best time of our life. I remember our bass player was like freaking out. He's like, I can't fucking play my instrument, man. It was just a good time, man, especially going someplace where you'd never been to before and knowing that there was like a much larger amount of people there than you were originally expecting to be there. It was a good time.
Absolutely. So what have you been doing in the quarantine lockdown bullshit? Like what's been going on with you in the last year?
I mean, to be honest, man, it's been a mixture of door dashing and working on new music.
Hey, there you go.
I mean, what else are other artists doing, huh?
You know what? Hey, that's me. That's all I'm doing is working and writing.
Same shit. So, I mean, you know, Firefight's been working. I myself have been working on something else that
Ooh,
I
so
that I've been
okay.
working on personally. I have a I just finished my first R&B record,
Oh shit.
so it's still a little bit hush hush, but we're working towards some pretty cool things. I'm very excited about it, so.
Hell yeah. So, what was one of your favorite Paramedic songs to play live? The one
One
that
of my
just like
favorite
when you,
songs to play live.
yeah, like the one that like once you guys hit that first note, you just seen the light in people's eyes, like it's time to fuck people up.
Oh man, there was a fuck ton of them, man. There was so many that we actually like enjoyed playing, and there was others that like the crowd loved, if you know what I mean. Like it was
Oh, absolutely.
it, like there was some that we had personal favorites, and there was others that the crowd always just they fucking went nuts so for. Eddie Would Be Proud was always a crowd favorite. We loved playing that one. I would say one of my personal favorites to play was probably either We Left Our Souls in New Jersey or Saul the Conspirator, personally.
That's
Those are some of my personal favorites.
I think my all-time favorite, the Paramedic song, would have to be "My Life in a Bottle." Like that just that fucking guitar and that song. Like the first time I heard that shit, I got full body goosebumps. I was like, "Whoa!"
Only a few personal friends know this, but fuck it, whatever. That song was written as a joke.
No shit.
Yeah, we did that just for the shits and giggles of it. Literally just to see if we could make a song like that.
Like a fucking just crazy, crazy ballad. Because it was
Yeah, we were
gorgeous.
like,
It was a masterpiece. Like when I heard that, like that just his little guitar solo, I was just like, holy shit, where'd that come from?
yeah, we did that whole thing as a joke. We just thought it was funny. We were like, you know what? Let's see how fucking American badass 80s, hairband ballad we can get. Let's just fucking throw it all in there.
That's what's up, actually. And yeah, it turned out to be my favorite song, so fuck yeah, man.
And it was a lot of fun. To this day, it turned out to be one of our best songs, which is even funnier. It's a
Oh,
blast to play.
it is. I've been working on trying to learn the guitar part myself just because I'm like, this shit's awesome. And my son loves to hear me play the guitar too, so it gives me excuse to pull the
We're good. We're good.
strings, man.
That's awesome.
You have any kids?
I do not. Not that I know of, at least.
How old are you, bud?
I am 29.
Fuck yeah, man. So I am 27 with two kids. So you're killing it, man.
That's what they say.
He said, you
That's
know.
what they say. It's like I said, I don't have any that I know of, so
That you know. That's fair. That's fair.
yeah.
I don't know, man. Door dashing gets you around a lot of places.
Yeah, you never know, man. Dropping off them orders, you never know what happens out there.
Dirty door dash.
Oh
Oh, hell no. So, let's talk about "Feel Something." That was a fucking song, dude. Like,
man.
yo, like it was really nice to hear something new that just fucking came out there and was just like, yo, check this out.
Yeah, we were pretty excited. So we have tried to do something, for lack of a better term, something new,
Right.
in terms of our writing style. And we just decided, you know what? Fuck it, man. Let's just write whatever the fuck we want. Let's write whatever we want, however we want to, and just not care anymore. And that's what we've started doing. So if we want to throw an R&B vocal part mixed with a funk rhythm guitar over top of like a, 90 or 50s Motown trio,
Fucking do it.
with a fucking metalcore guitar riff and like djent style drums, like why not?
It's a cool puzzle, man. That's all I can say. It comes out really nice. I mean,
Thanks, man. I
like, I'm a
appreciate it.
fan of like instrumental music, like Polyphia, Chon, Interval, shit like that. Like, that is some crazy like brain music is what I call it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. It's really cool showing people music that they're not expecting to hear, and that's what we're trying to do here is we're trying to go ahead and throw surprises in there. Like when we had made Identity, and we wrote that song, a lot of people say like, oh, that skipping part, like it sounds like the song is skipping. Like I either love that or like it's distracting. I'm like, yeah, but guess what? We're talking about it right now.
Yeah, and you remembered it though.
Exactly. So whether you hated it or loved it, you remembered it.
There it is.
So
That's a
I'm
mind
in your
fuck
head
right
now.
there. Yeah, we in there
I'm in your head now.
now.
That's all that matters to me.
It's true.
You remembered it.
That's true.
And that's what we've been trying to do. Like little things that people either are not expecting or things that catch your ear off guard. And it's a lot of fun to do that with people, man. Like that's how I personally write. That's why I did that in the Paramedic. The first album we released had When We Fight.
Oh, I love that fucking song.
And that was just because I wanted to. Like, what metalcore band is going to throw an R&B song?
Hey, we back?
I think we're back. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I don't either. I really don't. I was talking, I was like, okay. Guess we lost it.
It just said your recording session's done. Thanks for doing it. I was like, okay.
What the hell?
Yeah,
Well,
your
right
guess
on,
is pretty high.
man. This is part two, I guess.
Yeah, there we go, part two.
That's what's up, man. So, let me think. You live in Ohio. Are you guys legal weed there yet?
That I don't know, but also it doesn't
It
really
is what it
matter.
is, either way, you know.
Yeah, it don't matter for me either way.
That's fair. I was gonna ask, but I don't know. Some people are weird about that shit. I mean, fuck, I'm a smoker. The
All I'm gonna
podcast is
say is
called Trippy
support your local
Cupcakes.
business, man. Support your local business,
Absolutely. Damn right, man.
man. That's how you do it. Support small businesses.
So have you ever tried psychedelics before?
I have not. That I have not.
Do you ever
Not
have
myself
any
personally.
interest?
I have had interest in trying mushrooms, yes.
I mean, it's a decent time. I mean, if you're in a safe place, in life and in decent mental head space, it could be like a brain vacation, honestly.
I've heard good things about it, but I myself have never tried it.
That's fair.
But I figured with it being probably the only other natural thing that I can get out there aside from a plant that grows in the dirt, I was like, well,
Fair.
I could give it a shot.
It grows in the ground too. So yeah.
Yeah, I could give it a shot. Why not?
That's what's up. So what was your family life like growing up, man?
That was bit of a loaded question. Not in a bad way, but this my family life growing up was very good. I had very, very good parents. They taught me manners, they taught me respect. Not only how to respect others, but respect yourself.
Right.
And
That's
very,
important.
yeah, and my parents, are still together and are still here today, knock on wood. And I'm very blessed to have that in my life.
Absolutely.
I would also say that, growing up was a little bit difficult. I was definitely the black sheep. I wouldn't say that in a bad term, but it was more so something that I realized that I don't know if the rest of my family did, but something that I picked up on.
Yeah.
I was kind of not necessarily outcasted, but I didn't like sports. I wasn't athletic. I was definitely more into nerdy things that my parents didn't really understand. My sister didn't really understand, like anime or comic books or video games, things like that. I was a nerd growing up. Still am. Proud of it.
Say me too.
So I mean, it just it was one of those things where they tried to get into the little things that they could. My father and I share commonalities through, like, he's competitive, and I got into competitive gaming for a little bit. And you know, he also started me on the rock music that I listened to, and which, you know, led me to joining a band kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You know, my mother's my best friend. You know, she is, flat out. My sister is a very smart woman. She's doing great things that I couldn't even dream of doing, because she's a lot smarter than me.
Well, shout out to your sister then.
Yep. Shout out to my sister.
That's what's up. So did you grow up in Ohio? Like, pretty much you've been there your whole life?
In a way, yes, and in a way, no. So my childhood was mainly spent in Georgia. I grew up in a little place called Macon, it's about an hour south of Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
And when I grew up there, I was there from, let's see, shit. I was there from like 2 years old to the age of like 13, maybe 13, 14,
oh, shit.
Something like that. And
old enough to remember the move.
Yeah, I was definitely old enough to remember the move. I was in middle school and I just left eighth grade. I was going into high school, and it was like the day after I'd left eighth grade, we moved. So I just had to say bye to everybody, and I was like, what the fuck? And it was a crazy time, and I remember coming up to Ohio, and the first thing I thought, I was like, where the fuck are all the trees?
Fucking right.
I was like, it's just like flat. There's like nothing here. Like, what is this place? I was like, oh, man. And, you know, I spent all my years here from high school on, and I've been here since. So I went to high school here, and it was a little different, but, you know, I'm very thankful for the time that I spent here, because it's helped me to grow tremendously and become the musician that I am. So,
yeah,
it's got some merit.
I was going to say, what was the music scene in your area like growing up? And did you go to school with the guys that you were in your first band with?
So I was in a high school band that never really did anything. We were just a little local act, you know, a bunch of high school kids trying to do music, trying to figure it out.
What was that called?
It was a band called This Just In. And it was, I don't even know what the hell you would call it. It was some weird music that was like 7 minute long songs about weird topics. I had no idea what the fuck
was. Was it Anchorman Core?
It was weird. I had no idea what I was trying to pull off with it, man, to be honest. But I'm sure I had some
you started it, man.
Some big deep ass, you know, rooted meaning that was like too convoluted to properly explain.
That's fair. And then you spent 7 minutes a song trying to explain it and never got there. That's fair.
Pretty much, yeah. And I got an offer to join the Paramedic around 2010, and I played my last show ever with my band, This Just In, was also my first show with the Paramedic.
Oh, shit. So how'd that happen?
I did double duty that night.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, did their guy not show? And you were just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah, pretty much. They were like, hey, you know, we were having trouble with our vocalist. We kicked him out. Like, you're the best vocalist that we know in the area. Would you want to come sing for us? I was like, oh, shit, yeah, for like a show. Because, I mean, little known fact, I was actually a massive Paramedic fan before I joined the band.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, I was actually a big fan of like their music before I came along, and it was pretty cool. Definitely the local sound. It was some of my favorite music personally. But I had asked them, like, oh yeah, like for a night I can do that, no issue. And they're like, well, no, not a night, like forever. I was like, oh shit, wow.
So, yo, that's big.
I was like, oh, okay. Because at the time, the Paramedic was probably the biggest local band around here.
Okay.
And when I got the opportunity, I was like, you know what? I need to jump on this. Like, this is too...
Yeah, this may be a ticket out. Fuck it, let's go.
This may be something cool. And I've always liked this band. You know, I've always wanted to do something with it, so... Here we go. Let's give it a shot. And
I was just saying, opportunity don't usually knock twice.
Yeah, so I took the opportunity. I jumped on it. I dropped out of college, and I toured the country.
That's what's up. How did your family react to dropping out of college to tour the country? How did that go?
Not well. It did not
Yeah,
go well.
okay. I figured. I was gonna say, because I put myself in that scenario in my head as you said it, and I seen the look on my dad's face, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
Yeah, that it did not go well, and it was a rough time for me, especially as you know, I'm very close with my mother, and
oh man.
she didn't talk to me for about a month, and that was.
Oh, while you were touring too, and that, and the tour headspace isn't usually always a good
Yeah,
thing.
it was a little bit of a rough time, man, but you know what?
You made it.
I made it through, and you know, to this day, you know, my mother's my parents and my family have become extremely supportive. They've always been very supportive. It took a little while for them to get there, but you know, they, you know, from that point on, they've always been you know, in my corner, which is very nice. So
So once you prove that it meant that much to you, that you're gonna say, fuck it, I'm gonna do it, whether you like it or not,
yeah,
they
essentially, what?
respected it. You know, I mean, I've been there. I've had to do that with my own family when they
I
were
think one of, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
no,
My
go
bad.
ahead, go ahead.
I was gonna say one of the craziest moments, I think, or rather one of the most defining moments that really kind of sold it for both her and myself was when we had gotten Smoke and Mirrors back, and like we had got it back to us from the label. Like, we had the shipment of it, we had like all the albums
Right.
to go ahead and sell on tour, kind of thing. We had It was our first time seeing it and holding it in my hand. And I was like, holy fuck, like,
This
I
is
made it.
real.
Like, this is what I did. Like, this is my voice on here. Like, I did this. And I went to my mother, I remember at the time, and I was like, Mom, look what I made. I remember saying that exact phrase, look what I made. And she just kind of looked at it, and like in the cellophane wrapping with the barcode and the jewel case and the
And it
whole
was
nine
real.
yards. And she was like, wow. I was like, I told you I was going to do it. And here it is.
That is awesome.
And it was something else, man. Like, it's incredible to say that before the age of 30, hell, before the age of 25, I played a show in every single state of the continental US except for Alaska and Hawaii.
That's lit, dude.
I've been signed twice, three times damn near. It's fun, man. I love doing music. I mean, I guess I got something going on, 'cause
Right.
people like to listen, so I guess it's something good. But honestly, man, I don't know where I would be without it.
You still there?
Yep, still here.
Awesome. I was gonna say, yeah, dude, that's fucking cool. So that was really a promise. This is real now. I'm holding it in my hand. It's not just the internet.
Yeah, that's kind of when the whole moment fed through. We're like, okay, yeah, this is something. And I want to say there was 1 or 2 years when I was with the paramedic, we were actually touring and on the road more collectively than we were at home.
That's awesome.
And it was bittersweet. It was bittersweet. It was a very odd moment in my life in terms of realizing that this is what it could be and what it could become. And am I okay with that? In that, you know, this is what I have to do to pay the bills if I want to do this and make a name for myself, is tour constantly all the time.
Yeah.
And I would be away from, you know, friends, family, loved ones. I'd be missing holidays, vacations, which I had already missed plenty
Right.
of. And it was rough, man. There was a lot of hiccups. It was a lot of, you know, miscommunications, a lot of missed opportunities and fucked up time frames. But at the same time, I know that I was doing what I was doing for a reason.
It felt right.
Exactly. It felt like the
Absolutely.
right thing to do at that moment.
I mean, hey, we only get so many breaths, you know, total. So you might as well go for it while you got the chance.
Exactly.
That's awesome. When was the last actually wait a minute. Yeah, when was the last time you guys played Indiana?
The paramedic played Indiana?
Or just any of the bands you've been in. I don't know if I've ever seen Firefight come to Indiana at all.
No, we haven't played Indiana before. That little 3-day run that Firefight did was the most touring that we've done so far. Again, we were trying to go ahead and just test some waters, but we're definitely looking to get out there either late this year, if not sometime next year.
Right, once the world gets a little less fucky.
Yeah, pretty much. But I don't remember the last time I played Indiana, to be honest, man. It's been so long, but I know I've played plenty of times over there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think I seen you guys at the Hoosier Dome or the Emerson Theater. I think it was the Emerson.
I was about to say, I believe we played both.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both small little places either way.
Yeah, but there were some fun times. There were some good shows.
Absolutely. So who was some of your favorite tour mates, like band wise?
Some of my favorite tour mates ever. I would definitely have to say one of the last tours that the paramedic ever did was with a group called the Bad Chapter,
Okay.
who was with Phil Dreher, who was in I'm Abomination, and
Oh.
also Adam Ramey, who was in Dropout King. Now,
Dropout Kings. Those are fucking awesome.
yeah, and Adam's a really cool dude, a friend of mine, and I'm glad to see they're getting some really cool success. And I've talked to them and a couple of my other buddies in the scene, and I asked them, like, hey, yo, when this shit's done, like, you guys down to tour? And they're like, shit, we've been ready, man. Like, just let us know the dates. So
That's awesome.
hopefully when things go a little bit smoother, we can go ahead and get some tours and everything lined up.
That's what's up. So what made you want to do the transition from like the heaviness of the paramedic to Suppy Dudes, which was like pop punk, right?
Oh, that's actually something that, I've always loved. I've always loved pop punk. I've always loved Blink-182, Boxcar Racer. I mean, that type of music in that time was, it was my favorite. Green Day, circa Dookie Bombs, all that shit. Like,
Oh, yeah.
I loved that stuff growing up. And to be honest, it's, to me at least, some of the easiest music to write.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
It's fun, man. It's fun music to play. It's fun music to write. And
Is. It's like easy core. It's like once you start playing easy core, because it has like the little bit of chunkiness you get from metal core, but then it's got the chipperness from pop punk. It's just like right there.
we thought it was something that was going to be funny, because we were like, what if we made this entire world, which is what Suppy Dudes was, like, every single song was supposed to be essentially like an episode, if you will, of these two boys' lives. And it was about Chet Leitzinger, who was my character, and Brody Sullivan, who was played by Jake Nolan. And we just thought it was the funniest thing. We're like, what if it's like these two high school burnouts, and they're like fucking second year seniors because they're too stupid to figure anything out, and they've just been getting passed along because, they just don't they, the teachers don't want to deal with them anymore, and they're in love with this freshman chick who's just like the most beautiful girl in the world, and she's the varsity cheerleading captain, and maybe we have these friends who, like, one of them's got a their dad's a car dealership owner, and he just thinks he's a badass and he's got money because of that kind of thing. And we made this whole world and these characters, and we put them into these songs, and we wrote about like dick jokes and fart jokes, and we thought it was the funniest thing in the world. I remember sitting there with Jake as we were writing some of these songs and cracking the fuck up, thinking this is the funniest shit we've ever written. Like, it's hilarious. We thought it was so good. And we just put it out there, and we said, fuck it, let's see what happens. We're having a good time with it.
That's awesome. I could tell because it is some very fun and funny music at the same time.
Oh, we had an absolute blast with it. It was some of my favorite music to write, to be honest. And the best part about it, I would say, was there was a lot of duality with it.
Yeah.
And we try to make it as funny as possible, but with a lot of the songs as well. We tried to make them extremely depressing in terms of some of their flip sides or some of their past lyrics kind of thing. So we tried to flip it both sides.
That's what's up, actually.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like, for example, Best Night of My Life. Best Night of My Life was about a high school party, and you all the funny shit, you're picking up all the crumbs off your floor, and fuck the vacuum, I'm just gonna use my hands, like, because they're fucking stupid. Make sure there's condoms in every drawer, because you never know if these kids are gonna go crazy and go wild with having sex or whatever. So you figure, okay, I'm making smart choices. And we thought all these concepts were funny, like, we'll put this whole, high school party in your house, and someone shits in your mom's vase, and you're like, holy fuck, this party's going too wild. And then you hear that, the girl of your dreams shows up at this party, and you're like, fuck yeah, I'm fucking killing it in beer pong, I'm doing good, it's my night. And then you walk up into your room, and then you see she's on your bed with another guy making out with him.
Yep. It'd be like that sometimes.
And you're just like, well, fuck, man. And we thought it was not only funny, but incredibly sad at the same time. And we were like, hey, this is good. Let's run with this. This is funny. And it was, like I said, it was easy music to write. I remember we wrote Pretty Girl Things. I wrote that in 7 seconds.
Damn.
Exactly. In 7 seconds, exactly. I remember that because I was laughing about it, and I was sitting on Dick Nolan's bed in his room before we recorded it, and I was like, listen to this real quick, and I sang it for him. He was like, get on the mic.
He said, get that shit, let's go.
Pretty much, yeah. That's how it went down. It was.
That's awesome.
The rest was history.
So, is he in your current band now?
Jake Nolan is not in my current band, no.
No? What has he been up to?
He has been doing his own thing. He's got a band that he's in right now called The Dollars. They're if you're into the more wild side that the Paramedic had, that's definitely where you would want
to
go.
Ooh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. Definitely one of my best friends still to this day. But he's been doing that, and he's been having a lot of fun doing The Dollars, so I'm very happy for him, and I wish nothing but the best for his band and all their success.
Absolutely.
Jake Nolan and I have also been working on a little bit of an anime dub.
Oh shit.
For some voice acting stuff, so.
Ooh.
So we're trying a couple things out. He's been working. I've been working. We've both been working together. I have some other people that I'm working with for my R&B stuff.
Ooh.
So it's just been busy.
That's awesome,
busy,
man.
Busy.
Hey, idle hands in the devil's playground.
That's what I'm saying, man. So I'll actually be shooting my my first music video for my R&B project here within the next couple weeks. So
awesome. We'll be looking forward to that for sure.
Very excited for that. So when that drops, hopefully it'll be a really big deal. I'm hoping for that at least. It's my first time throwing my hat in that ring.
You know what, though? I mean, you kind of already R&B'd it a little bit. Like, the Cleans and the Paramedic, I especially remember, were very R&B. Have a Nice Day. Like, that full-on was like a fucking R&B song. Honestly. It was very bouncy and just, very good vibes.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. It was a lot of fun creating the music that we did. We definitely had an absolute blast in that band. And we still when I go up to track my parts for this anime dub that I'm doing with Jake right now, I mean, we still sit back and we reminisce and we laugh and talk about all the dumb shit that I did and the dumb shit that he did, all the dumb shit we did together, and it's just a lot of fun, man. It's good to look back, and I'm very blessed to say that I have those times to look back on.
Yeah, man, it would have never happened if you wouldn't have just said, fuck it, I'm gonna go for it.
Exactly, and that's something that I tried to preach in my time in the Paramedic to everybody that we played with or everybody that we got to play for. So, I mean, if you got an opportunity, man, go for it. Even if people tell you no, or, people tell you to not do it, like, fuck them.
Yeah, it ain't their
you
life.
anyway.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah, they're not the ones living the life. You are.
Straight up.
I mean, you have the opportunity to do something, change the world, make it better, change your life, make it better. I mean, you owe it to yourself to do that at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes people think that being selfish is it's got a negative connotation to it, but actually, you got to take care of yourself to take care of others.
Yeah, if number one isn't okay, I mean, the fuck are you gonna do for somebody else?
Was gonna say, man, if Superman can't get his suit on, he can't save nobody. He ain't doing
Straight
shit.
up.
He ain't doing shit.
Straight up, man.
Absolutely.
That's facts.
Self-care is the one thing I've been really preaching to myself and my fiance during this COVID time. I mean, it forced us to spend more time at home with our family anyways, for most people, which is kind of a
Right.
blessing.
That's good, man. I'm very happy to hear that. You know, I'm happy to hear that you've been able to spend time with your family, with your kids and your fiance. It's a beautiful thing, man. It's a blessing.
Oh, it totally is, man. So, do you have any aspirations to get back into heavier music? Is there some hidden gems you're kind of low key working on?
I wish I could say, man, but to be quite honest, at the time currently, no, there's not. Firefight is about as heavy as I'm getting, but we're trying new things.
That's fair.
And I mean,
That's fair.
as if to anybody that listens and has followed my work at all, if they know how I write, they know that there's going to be some surprises on the record.
That's what we look forward to.
I mean, we like to. I like to sprinkle in candy. Everybody likes a little candy, something sweet every now and again.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, you got to sprinkle some gems in there. Throw something in there for people to find. Make a track number six, because why the fuck not?
Yup. Yeah, fuck the rules. This EP's got fucking 9 songs. Fuck with me.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't. If you want to do something, man, fucking do it. That's what I've been trying to preach.
The way to live.
Do it to the best of your abilities and make it fucking beautiful, man.
Absolutely. Well, man, I appreciate you hanging out and chatting with us this evening. Tell the people how we can find you and get a hold of you if we want to check out your music.
You can find us online at FirefightMN. That's for Instagram. Also for Facebook. You can find us there if you search Firefight. Also, I believe we have a Snapchat. No, we don't have a Snapchat. Not yet. Not yet, anyway. But my personal Instagram as well is dat1dude, DAT, the number 1DOOD.
Nice.
And I do not do Facebook. I stay
Yeah,
away from it myself.
that's cool, man. That's social media can be very toxic.
Yeah, but if anybody is a gamer out there, I do play video games very heavily. I'm a Sony fanboy.
Me
My
too.
gamer tag
Let's
is
go.
I'm a PSN guy, so my PSN is Game Guru 311 92.
Message that to me, dog. I am Trippy Tommy 11.
So I'm on there. If anybody wants to game out, I do VR gaming and I do a bunch of other stuff. So
Do you play
also,
Monster Hunter?
I do not play Monster Hunter.
What
I haven't played
the
it yet.
fuck? Get it.
I do a lot of so I'm a big like narrative gamer. I like The Last of Us, God of
Oh, I
War,
love.
Uncharted.
Okay, you like story games.
Yes, I'm very big into narrative. I find it to be a very cool concept and something that a TV show or a movie would not be able to
Ah,
create.
so you don't skip the cutscenes. That's what you're telling me.
Oh no, I watch every single cutscene because to me, I look at it as, you know,
It's part of
some
the game.
dude. It's part of the game, and I look at it as, you know, people don't understand that game development is a very, very, very hard and arduous task. It can be mind-numbing and soul-crushing. There is alcoholism and a very high marriage divorce rate
And
in
drug
gaming.
abuse.
in game development, and it really sucks. So I figure, when people skip cutscenes or do things like that, it kind of bugs me because I'm thinking, the dude who made this, hopefully he's going to get paid for it and paid well enough. And hopefully, he still has a family to go home to.
Yeah.
Hopefully he didn't lose that family during the month-long crunch that they had to do where he was pulling 90 to 100-hour work weeks.
Are you talking about those people that work for Mortal Kombat? They made the last Mortal Kombat game.
Oh man, it happens everywhere. It's everywhere in
I
video
mean, but
games.
that's when they really that didn't know about it heard about it then.
It's yeah, I mean Crunch has always been a fucking big deal to me, man. And I don't like it because at the end of the day, man, if it's art. I almost look at gaming as art.
It is a form
Do
of art.
not don't rush it just because I want it.
That's fair.
Just because I want it doesn't mean that you have to rush it because it is your work, it's your art. I want to see it when it's ready.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what a lot of people in the gaming industry don't realize.
A
And
lot of
that's why
gamers
we
don't
get.
realize. Gaming industry people for sure get it, but it's the gamers, the impatient people that are just like, fuck it, it don't matter, I'll just keep playing.
Oh yeah, I could easily see that as the same way as well. I mean, people again don't take the time to sit down and realize how long these games take to make and what goes into it. Like
Oh yeah,
it's
they're beautiful.
gaming has become bigger than both the movies and the music industry combined.
Oh yeah.
It is one of the biggest forms of entertainment in history.
Well, think of the detail that goes into it. Like I've said earlier, Monster Hunter. Like some of these dragons look damn near real. It's like these people spent, to get those micro tiny details and scales and shit. And even in the backgrounds, like to make that shit look hyper real, that they had to spend hella time making that shit.
You have to make all these things look incredibly realistic. And I mean, you have gamers like me who, again, are very narrative-driven gamers who love the story shit. And now I'm spoiled by games like BioShock Infinite and Control
Yeah.
and The Last of Us and God of War.
Yeah, T-Law
So
really did
now
it for a lot of people.
now I crave this narrative, emotional storytelling. Like, I want you to take me on a trip, take me on a journey. Like,
want to live their life. I want to be
I
there.
want to see growth in character development because growth, not only in character development, video games, TV shows, movies is a good thing, but also in your personal life, growth is a good thing.
Oh, absolutely.
So I love seeing that portrayed in one of the biggest entertainment mediums that we have right now because I feel like these games are trying to send messages.
Subliminally, like I've
Yeah.
learned some heartfelt shit from some games, man. Like you said, The Last of Us, that game made me shed some big ass man tears. I am not gonna lie to you.
That is one of the best games. Actually, no, that is the best game I've ever played in my life. Hands down, it is my favorite game of all time. The Last of Us and The Last of Us 2, as much as people hated it, I thought was absolutely fucking phenomenal.
Oh, it was.
I wouldn't change a fucking thing about it.
No.
I would not change a thing about it.
Gorgeous. I still fuck around, hop on and play it sometimes.
It's an absolutely wonderful masterpiece. Storytelling is fantastic, and the reason why is because Last of Us 2 forces perspective. And I have explained this to so many people, and when I explain it to them, they're like, "Oh, I guess yeah, that does kind of make sense." But it forces perspective because now, you halfway through the game, you flip tails kind of thing,
Yeah.
and you're forced to play as the other character.
Yeah.
And now, even though I don't like this person, I have to see their side of the story.
Yep.
And that in its own right, I believe, is something that the game was trying to convey,
Yeah.
is the idea of fairness, the idea
Yeah.
of perspective. Because there's always two sides to a story. There's always motive and reasoning behind something. And I think that's why it's my favorite game. It's just an absolute treasure, man. People, if you never played it before, you got to experience it.
Absolutely, man. We'll have to play PlayStation together sometime, man.
All day, man. All day. I love hopping on there. So.
And then another one I'd have to say, like, before I hop off here, since we're on video games, I could talk about video games forever. Bully. Bully. Right. Have you ever played Bully?
I never played Bully, but I heard amazing things about it. And
holy
I heard Bully 2. I heard Bully 2 is a thing. I've heard it's not a thing. I heard it's coming out. I heard it's not coming out.
Yeah, I don't hold my breath for it. Like, I've heard Titanfall 3 is going to be a thing for fucking my whole life. So, you know.
There's been so many things going on. I feel like the gaming industry is almost becoming like a Gossip Girl show now.
Oh, dude, especially with Nintendo. Oh, my gosh. Nintendo is like fucking hype magazine.
Oh, yeah. They love it, man. They're like, oh, we're not making a Switch Pro. By the way, we're making a Switch Pro. We're not doing this. By the way, here's this.
We're not remastered Diamond and Pearl. Just kidding. We are.
I don't know what they're doing, but I mean,
I don't like
their
it.
Their market still loves them.
Yeah.
As long as there is Pikachu and Mario and Zelda and Donkey Kong,
they will live forever.
Always, Nintendo will never die.
That's fair. Hey, my kids love it. I've got Nintendo characters tatted on me.
Mario, Sonic, Donkey Kong, Pikachu, Nintendo will never die.
True.
Yeah. And I mean, the best reason is because they modeled it perfectly. They're going after the children.
Yeah, and the thing is, and they set so well, you could play an old-ass game that you played as a kid, as an adult, and you find new reasons to love it, and it's fucking incredible.
They know exactly what they're doing. Their market's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, Nintendo is the godfather of games. Like, I'm a Sony guy. I've been a PlayStation guy my whole life, like, straight up.
Yeah, that's a vibe.
I mean, I literally owned an Xbox for long enough to beat Doom, and then I fucking sold it to my homie for, like, some weed or something.
That's another amazing game. I'm a big Doom fan.
Yes, Doom slaps.
It's an amazing game. The soundtrack is also fantastic. Mick Gordon did fantastically with that.
Incredible.
For Doom Eternal, he actually used vocalists from around the nation, kind of thing, as like a quiet, like a death choir.
Ah. And
the vocalist was actually from Cincinnati.
No shit.
Yeah. I was like, huh, no way. And I actually saw him on the interview. I was like, no way, that's this guy. I don't remember his name. It's escaping me right now, but he's definitely got a fucking growl on his throat. That's for sure.
For sure. Damn, man.
That's a big favorite of mine. Doom and Doom Eternal. Big fan.
Oh, absolutely. Big fan. Well, shit, man. I appreciate you giving us some time. Was it Dat One Dude on Insta?
Dat One Dude on Insta. DAT, the number one, DOOD. You can find Firefight on Instagram at FirefightMN. You can also find us on Facebook, either FirefightMN, Firefight Band, or Firefight Online. Again, I haven't been on Facebook in forever. But we also, again, just released Feel Something. Please check out that song on YouTube and Spotify. Play the fuck out of it. We worked really hard on that song. And we have merchandise still up for this song, but it is going to be going away very soon. We have been selling out of it, like, very, very quickly. So if you're interested, please get it before it's gone. We will not be making more.
Can people still get the Paramedic merch?
That, I don't know, really. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know if there is any more merchandise. I can talk to Jake and ask, but there might be a way.
Well, but
I just don't know for sure.
That's fair. I had a friend ask me if I could get him one of the Bitch Say One More Word shirts, and I was like, I'll ask.
Yeah, I gotta talk with Jake and see if we have anything still.
That's fair. Well, hey, man, I appreciate your time. Thank you for fucking with me this evening. Have a great evening. And yes, guys, go check out Firefight.
Thank you so much, Tommy. I appreciate your time.
All right.
Thanks everyone for listening. You guys have a good night.
Yep, this is episode 39. Have a good one.